Fran fam, what's going on? Listen, before we start this podcast episode, I have a very, very small favor to ask of each and every single one of you guys. I appreciate the support that all of you have been showing for the podcast up until this point, but we want to try and get these episodes out to as many people as possible. And how we do that on the audio side is by leaving a review and dropping a 5-star rating. So if you've been a consistent listener of the pod, please, before we get this episode started, it only takes a couple of seconds, leave a review. It could be a 2-word, 3-word, 4-word review, or just leave a rating. Do something to get the word out so that we can get the Marvin Francois Show to more listeners moving forward. Outside of that, love you guys, appreciate the support, but without further ado, let's get into this episode.
So say for an example, in the 30-day window of the debt collector contacting you or whatever the case may be, when they first get the debt or want to collect the debt, they send you that dunning letter and they say, hey, you know, we got this debt, and if you don't respond, we're going to say that, you know, this is valid or whatever the case may be. You think you got this letter and then you send debt validation, debt verification. And guess what? I asked for my wet signature. I asked for accounting and I asked for all these documents, and now they didn't give me this and I got this. And now you fell straight into that trap. What I'll do is just simply write a letter, date it, address it to the debt collector, and just simply keep it real simple. I refuse to pay. Put your information on the bottom and take a picture of the letter and then send it off to the debt collector.
Hey, business owners, what if I helped you get access to $50,000 in business funding for $1 a day? Would you be interested? Inside of my Credit Mastery community, you're going to be getting exclusive access to our in-depth training program that's worth tens of thousands of dollars to give you the exact strategies you need on how to restore your credit and on how to properly structure your business. You're also going to be getting access to a financial consultant with over a decade of experience in the funding space that'll help you reach your financial goals in half the time it would take if you were to do it on your own. And we're going to be giving you 2 coaching calls every week that'll give you the exact banks you need to go to get access to $50,000 to $100,000 in business funding. This is the same community that helped Pat get access to $50,000 in funding from Chase, helped Alvin get access to $8,000 in funding from Amex, helped Matt boost his personal credit score by 150 points, and helped Donna delete a bankruptcy from her credit report. So if you're interested, click the link above or below this video to join now, and we'll see you on the other side of success. Let's go, family.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Marvin Francois Show, your number one source for all things business, finance, and investing. And today, is a very special day because our guest today is a business owner, financial strategist, consumer law expert, and a student of the game. Over the past several years, our guest has made it his mission to empower consumers by providing them with the education and solutions they need to improve their relationship with finances and credit. Whether he's behind the scenes helping a select few deal with debt collectors or in the courthouse going against them himself, our guest is all about providing value for the people just like you. And today, he's here to do more of the same. I've seen this man crush debt collectors, make CRA sweat. So when it comes to the FDCPA, this brother is as real as it gets. Ladies and gentlemen, from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, I'm here with the one, the only, my guy, Mr. Vance Dotson. What's going on, family? How are you?
Hey, man, let's get it. Let's get it. Let's get it, man. Let's.
What's going on, brother? How's everything on your end?
Oh, man, it's good. You know, first of all, man, thanks for inviting me on the platform. You know, we made it quick, you know, and let's get the people what they need.
1,000%. So I'm extremely excited to have you on. You and I were joking about it before we started the episode, but man, when you talk about highly requested guests, your name has always floated in the top two, because being in the credit space, one of the biggest things people ask me about all the time is, you know, how do they deal with debt collectors? How do they deal with individuals that are trying to garnish their wages, for, you know, medical bills and things that they dealt with X amount of years ago? And every time I've done research on a topic, brother, your name has come up each and every single time. You are not new to this. You are true to this. And I'm all about providing my people as much value as possible. So I'm very excited for this conversation. I'm sure you are as well. But before we get into the game on top of game, I want to start off with letting people know who aren't familiar and getting them familiar. So who exactly is Vance Dotson?
Man, Vance Dotson, you know, I'm just like the viewers, you know. So right in the center of the map, Oklahoma City to be exact. And yeah, man, just a regular guy. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it makes me feel a little bit different when you like, man, these people is requesting me, like, you know, anybody can hit me up, you know what I'm saying? And I must, hey, what's going on? You know what I'm saying? See what's happening. But I'm not, you know, I'm not standoffish by no means. I'm just like anybody else, you know, seeking information or seeking opportunity, whatever that may be, on your side, my side, however, you know what I mean? Just a regular person, man.
I love it. I love it. Before we get into the game, to really give people more insight into just everything that's led up to you getting to where you are now, right? Being a master in the space. Let's go a couple years back, because from what I learned, you actually got started when it came to, you know, just pretty much crushing debt collectors with a situation you went through where you got in a bit of an accident at the time when you were driving a truck. And then through that experience, that was when you ultimately had your first run in when it came to dealing with a debt collector. Could you share that story with the audience?
Oh, yeah, man. So, man, you did some research on me.
You know that? Yes, sir.
So check it out, man. As the viewers can see, right? Like you, my camera, but you can see this right here, right?
1,000%.
So yeah, so it's not somebody who's saying I didn't, you know, downloaded the ebook. You know, nah, man. Hey, listen, I got the scars to show for it. You know what I'm saying? So what happened is I was working on this started back in 2004.
Okay.
And I used to work on drilling rigs for about 10 years. So I'm going to work, bought me a new Escalade at the time.
Got
so driving to work, because I stay in Oklahoma City, but the drilling rig that we was on was like 4 hours away.
Right.
And so I'm driving with my knee and I'm eating some Long John Silver, some fish, man. Hey, anybody know me, man? Listen, let's get some fish. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so I'm driving, I got someone on speakerphone, and then next thing you know, I wasn't paying attention, hit. I'm not sure if I hit them or they hit me. I don't know. So basically I'm, you know, messed up, car wrecked, and the ambulance came. So they took me to the hospital. And then next thing you know, here come the bills, here come the calls. And so this is back in the day, man. So I bought me a recorder from Walmart, $40, $30.
Right.
Well, so when they called me, I just put my phone on speakerphone and hit record. That's the thing that people need to understand is you got to have, because law, if we're talking about anything dealing with law or anything, period, it's based on what can be proven. So when I didn't know then, but I know now, everything is just based on that. So me recording the calls was proof. So all I did was just took my recorder to court. You know, now you got to transcribe it.
But, right.
You know, I took my recorder to court. And so essentially I was disputing because I did not have insurance at the time. But I was just like, hey, man, why didn't insurance cover this? And so that segment or statement or however you want to view it, it's a dispute. And so they put it on my credit report. I pulled my credit report, and next thing you know, I was hauled off to the. I went to state court.
Okay.
Because I'm like, man, you know what? I'm just gonna go to court. So I didn't know the difference between state court, federal court, all that. I didn't know. So I went. I filed the case. Next thing you know, because they didn't say the mini Miranda neither, and so that's a requirement under the FDCPA. So I got all this. I got like 3 or 4 recordings. I'm thinking like, this is a slam dunk, dude. So I go down to the court with my evidence. They show up. All of this stuff on the internet, like, oh, do you think the CEO is going to show up? The CEO showed up. You know what I'm saying?
That's crazy.
From Dallas. The company was in Dallas.
Gotcha.
They come up, and the judge asks me, is this a civil case or a criminal case? Because the mini Miranda, you know, when if the police is hauling you off to jail, they supposed to read you your mini Miranda rights.
Right.
Miranda rights, right? So in the FDCPA is called mini Miranda. So they're supposed to read off something to you. Mm-hmm. So what happened was the judge is asking me like, hey, did you? And I'm like, this is a civil matter. So I'm like, so dismissed the case. Oh, man, wow. I'm so hot, bro. So, yeah, man. So I'm like, man. So I lost the case on that state level. So then, you know, I'm living life, doing what I got to do in the day. And then next thing you know, I get a call from my daddy like, hey, you got a lawsuit here. Well, like, what's been going on? I'm like, oh, man. So now I got to, you know what I'm saying? I got to answer to my daddy. So now right. My daddy is like, hey, what's going on? So I'm like, yeah, daddy was a dead, you know, I just came to court. I was going to sue him and I lost the case. And so now I got to defend the debt or defend the case. So now I'm like, man, what I got to do is do some research on how to defend it. So I looked at, because they sued me in small claims. And then, so I looked at the small claim rules. In Oklahoma, a third party debt collector can't sue over debt in small claims. So okay. That's my way out. So now, so I draw me up a motion to dismiss based on that rule. So then I, now the judge rules in my favor. So now I'm the man. I'm like, ah, you know what I'm saying? I'm the man. I'm like, hey, let's get it. So I told the CEO of the company, I said, man, listen, I'm finna sue you. I'm finna sue the company. I'm finna get paid. So, hey, I'm telling you, just keep it real 100 with you. So what happened is when I finally went to federal court, now I got to do all, it's a lot of pleading requirements. So I see why a lot of people be trying to skirt around and figure out something else instead of doing the hands on. So next thing you know, I go and draw up my complaint and I sue him and his company. So, man, what they came with was res judicata, meaning the complaint or the issue that I'm complaining about is already been ruled on. But you got to understand the difference. It was not ruled on its merits. So that's the difference between res judicata and somebody, you know, that's the difference, right? That's the legal difference. So what was happening or what happened is I had to plead around all of that. I had to really do it head on because that was their defense. And so that was one. Two, they had sued me in small claims, right? And they couldn't legally do that. So within the FDCPA, they did something that they could not legally do. So that was an additional violation. So I was just like, you know what? Which I did win on the res judicata issue. I was just like, you before the judge ruled on it, I was like, look, you know what? I let that one go. But you sued me in small claims, you could not legally do that. So you know, we go to court. So this is before COVID. This is in 2004 era. So all this is before COVID-ish. So we had to literally go to court. Now it's just done by pleadings and email and our phone and all that stuff now. So we go to court. And next thing you know, the judge says, hey, counsel, because I went to court. I had the recorder. I had to transcribe. I had all my evidence just ready to go. And the judge is just like, hey, counsel, talking to the lawyer, like, hey, man, I think you should go outside and come up with an agreement with this young man.
And right.
I'm like, damn, I never did all this stuff before. So we go out in the hallway and I said, hey man, I want $3,500, man. And so he was just like, well, let me see what I can do. And so he comes back and, you know, he gives me, we agreed to $3,500. And so from that point, man, suing debt collectors was better than sex.
Listen, man, you walking in out the courthouse with $3,500. That's a great day. That's a very, 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 very great day. So I could definitely second that. And from that first experience up until now, you know, you took that, man, and that has launched you into another stratosphere. Once again, you have mastered the space and not only been able to help yourself, but help countless others be in position so that they could do the same. And that's why I really wanted to get on here and give that same information and give those same strategies and the methods that you're using every single day to help other consumers and empower the ones that are watching this that don't know the rights that protect them when it comes to debt collectors. More importantly, understand the rights that they can leverage to put some cash in their pocket as a result of these unlawful practices, which I was one of what I wanted to go ahead and break down. So let's dive straight into it, right?
Get it, man. Let's get it. But look, you know, that's the only way to handle problems. It's just to look at it dead in his face, man. That's the only way. You know, don't run from the calls. Don't run from the emails. Don't run from the texts. Don't run from the letters. Don't let them be on your credit report. Do it like just dead in his face, bro.
1,000%. So let's break it down. Let's break it down for the individuals, right? Before we get into the game about just what some of these practices are and some of the different things we can do as consumers, I think context is important. So for somebody who they're looking over their credit report, they got all these letters from these collections agencies. What exactly happens from when an account goes delinquent, and how does this account go from being delinquent and, you know, at one point in time, Capital One had the account, Citibank had the account, Chase had the account, to now LVNV is knocking at my door and IC yeah. Systems is knocking at my door. Like, what happened? What is that process to go from the original creditor holding the account to ultimately it getting in the hands of the collections agency?
Yeah, if LVNV is knocking on your door with a lawsuit, man, you've been running like an ostrich. So that's what not to do. Like I say, man, you know, just get in contact with someone who really has the experience and the knowledge to help that problem go away. But the first thing I would do is not ignore it. You know what I mean? So this is the thing, man. If I could just be blunt on your show, the FDCPA is written up for the least sophisticated consumer. So it doesn't take much to get protection. That's the thing. So when you dodge and duck and run, because if you read that letter, it's saying, hey, we are assuming what we got is right. You see what I'm saying? So if you rebut or get back or whatever, however the thing is, you at least told them, hey, man, you know, back off, send me whatever the case may be. You did something. But the thing is, man, don't do nothing, man. Don't do nothing. That FDCPA, man, is a powerful law. So once again, right? So you got to understand my background, where I come from, and how I live. So say, for example, talking about the background, man, is I didn't even finish high school. So some people will look at me and be like, man, dude, this dude is a black guy. He's not articulate. But we're going to use that stereotype to turn it around on the debt collector to make money. Because say, for an example, when they're calling you, answer the phone, but record it. And when you answer the phone, you just structure a statement without saying dispute. That's really the golden gem right there, because you sound like an ignorant African-American, you know, that just don't know what they're talking about. So keep in mind, because the FDCPA is written up for the least sophisticated consumer. So say, for example, I get a call about a credit card, right? I didn't pay my credit card bill. The limit was $500. Now the balance is $600-some. Debt collector calls. Hey, man, what's going on? Yeah, this is Vance. Yeah, you owe $600-some. How did the balance get to 600 when my limit was only 500? Keep in mind, you're recording the call. That's a dispute. See, what people don't understand is you can dispute the debt, you can dispute the validity, or you can dispute a portion of the debt. You see what I'm saying? That right there gives you so much power. So this is the thing. If you just dodging the phone calls, how are you ever going to say, hey, I'm invoking, you know, my FDCPA rights? How are you going to ever do that? You're ducking and dodging.
Okay. All right. Let's start to peel these layers back a little bit more. Yeah. So now, when we're dealing with these debt collectors, I think one of the biggest reasons why we have so many consumers that are getting crushed by them is because they just don't have the information. They're uninformed about a lot of the unlawful practices that are being used against them in how these debt collectors are pursuing them for the debt. Mm-hmm. So what are some of these different practices that we should be aware of from how they're, what they're doing on the phone that we may not know is actually a violation of our rights? So what they may be saying in these letters, like what are some of those different violations we should be aware of?
So like I just said, you know, I went over them steps with, how to handle that phone call. So once they continue, or if they put it on your credit now and they don't, you know, mark the information disputed, we got them. So in that instance, in my experience up until today, a lot of the times they delete the tray line from the credit report and they'll say, hey, look, you know, we want this to go away. So we want to forgive you from the debt. And if you hire a lawyer, they're going to say, hey, we're going to pay your attorney's fees. Or if you represent yourself, you get educated, represent yourself, and then they'll say, hey, man, look, you know, we're going to say this is just $1,000, right? But we'll give you $3,000, $3,500 to go away. You know, they'll do that just to get the sweeten the deal, you know, so you to go away. But you got to know how to litigate to get to that point.
Okay. One of the things I also heard, and this is more so dealing on the credit repair side of things. I want to know if there was any truth to this. Is it true that, because let's say, for example, in us trying to deal with the actual debt collection side of things, this is also still a negative mark on our credit report. And as I'm sure you know,
okay, let me pause you right there.
Talk to me.
If it get to the credit report, mm-hmm. You did, something is wrong.
Something is wrong.
You just ran off and ducked your head in the sand like an ostrich.
Okay. Meaning that it should never even get to the credit report.
You have rights to prevent that.
Okay. Got you. Right? Got you.
So say for example, they're calling, ring, ring, ring. And if you just said what I said, right? But you gotta have that swag about yourself, man. You just can't, I listen to, you know, Marvin's advanced podcast, and you can't sound like a what is that, ChatGPT bot, right? Just can't sound you. It got to be, you know what I'm saying? It got to be smooth with it. You know what I mean? It be smooth on the fly. Like, oh man, I thought that you said $600. I thought that was like 500. I thought it was like 400. You see what I'm saying? Because we're gonna keep it real in my community. That's what black people say. I'm confused. Oh, I thought. So we're going to use that in real life. You see what I'm saying? So let's say for an example, you said that and you're recording the call and you get the, you know, you get the evidence. You just lay low. Don't be antsy. Just lay low. And then they put it on your report. Now I want to hear the call and I want to see the report. They're not going to mark the information as disputed. And here is the science why. Because one, it just sounds like a regular conversation. That's the golden tip, right? So if you sound robotish, you're not going to pull it off. You see what I'm saying? So then, so if you get to that report, you say, hey, man, I got this call and here's my report. Oh man, we got something worthwhile. We're gonna move to the next step.
Mm-hmm. 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 Okay. So when we talk about the FDCPA, which is, as you and I both know, is an acronym that stands for Fair Debt Collection Practices Act.
Yes.
We also have the Fair Credit Reporting Act. So what exactly is the difference between the two when it comes to us leveraging them to challenge these collections and these debt collectors that are coming against us? Are we only using the FDCPA, or are there certain laws and regulations within the FCRA that we're also able to use as well?
So you got to understand, the FDCPA is governing third-party debt collectors. So once they appear on your credit report, Now you have the other law that governs them also, which is the Fair Credit Reporting Act. And so the distinction between the two is the FDCPA is a strict liability law and FCRA is a non-strict liability law. So to ghetto hood it down in simple terms, it's, you know, when somebody step on your shoe, you can punch them. The FDCPA. FCRA, somebody step on your shoe, you gotta say, hey man, can you not step on my shoe no more? You know, you have to notify them. You gotta notify them. So that's the distinguished difference. And, yeah.
What are some of the different, because I hear, you know, I'm in the space and you're in the space, and I hear all the different laws of the 15 U.S.C.s and the 15, you know, all the different codes and laws. Are there any laws and codes in particular that we as consumers need to know at the very, at ground zero? Like, if you don't know any of the other laws, but you know these two or these three or these five laws going into dealing with any debt collector, you will have more than enough bearings to go ahead and either sue or come out on top to where they are no longer pursuing you for the debt. What are some of those laws and what would some of those laws be?
All right. So this is the thing, man. You know, in the United States, it's probably only like 1 million lawyers. You see what I'm saying? So this is the thing, Marvin. You're not a lawyer and I'm not a lawyer. Technically, we don't need to know all that. We just need to get the evidence and give it to the right person. Then that right person is going to translate what to do. You see? So go get that recorder. Go get that recorder if they're calling you. Go get that recorder. And this is the thing. Be calm. Be calm. So I know a lot of people just get off the ringer and be like, oh, I told you don't call me no more. Don't do that. Don't do that. Just keep calm, you know. And it's a few things to say. So I gave you one. That's disputing, right? If they keep calling, just be like, you know, hey, I'm at work right now. One. And then it's not a good time to talk. Two. So what you just did by answering the phone, recording the call, let's say for an example, you're outside playing basketball and then you miss the phone call. You got to go get ready. You got to get out the shower, then see who called you back. Hit that recorder. Hey, I got a missed call from this number. Right? Hey, yeah, this is Midland. You owe $500 million. Okay, cool. Thank you. I'm at work right now and it's not a good time to talk. And from there, once they call back, all you got to do is say the same thing. Hey, man, I'm at work and it's not a good time to talk. I did not say, hey, man, you just called me yesterday. Hey, don't do that. Don't do that. Just keep cool. Hey, man, I'm at work. It's not a good time to talk. Right there, what you just did was you invoked, let's talk the lawyer fancy talk. You just invoke 15 USC CA1. You see what I'm saying? So it's just like, we don't need to know CA1, right? We don't need to know all that stuff. And then that was one. It's not a good time to talk, but we invoke two. I'm at work. And that's CA3, right? So again, you don't have to be a lawyer. You just got to know what to do. So, boom, that's that right hook and that left hook right there, right there. But once again, get the evidence. Get the evidence. That's it.
There's also something I've heard you talk about as well that when I heard it, I was like, I actually didn't even know this as well. I've heard you talk about there's a way that when you get on the phone or when you're in contact with the collection agencies or these debt collectors, you can actually control the medium in which they reach out to you on. And I think most people don't know that. Yeah. To where they think like, hey, if these collection agencies call me on the phone, I just have to sit there and take it. The fact that they call me 18 times a day, but yeah, you actually have control as a consumer to say like, if I want them to email me, they only should be able to email me. And if they don't, That's a violation. Could you speak a little bit on that?
Yeah, man. And I want to really dive into that, right? So say for an example, you have a lot of do-it-yourselfers, right? And so based on experience, like I say, I've been doing this since 2004. You can't go to a courthouse and the judges don't know about me. Period. So I'm online talking a lot of crap, you know what I mean? So, and I'm educating the people at the same time. But this is the thing. So I did an interview and I released that specific information, right? You can send a letter to the debt collector and say, hey, look, you know, the only convenient way to contact me is mail, right? Or email. And then they send you something in the mail and then we bring lawsuit. Now, let me tell you, I was riding high on that for years. I released it on an interview. A lot of people started doing it, didn't consult with me. And now we have bad case law. So we got bad case law on that around the United States. But that's the impact of the interviews. So I really want to hone in on that, right? So say, for example, I understand you're a do-it-yourselfer, but this is what you did, you know? And so a lot of people have messed that up throughout the United States, don't know how to litigate it right, correctly.
Gotcha. Another thing I've also heard you talk about as well, which I thought was a really great gem, you talked a lot about, you know, making sure we're recording the calls, right? Now, as you know, and most people who've dealt with debt collectors know, they usually have the little thing that they see at the top of the call, like, this call is being recorded for quality and training or attempt to collect debt. They'll let you know that they're recording the call. You've also spoken about knowing whether you live in, I believe it's called a one-person recording.
Yeah.
One party
or two-party consent state.
For those who don't know, could you talk a little bit about what that is and why understanding that is so important when it comes to the recording portion of getting evidence from these calls?
Yeah, so you got to understand, I live life on a fast lane. So a lot of people call me, I don't know them. So I gotta get to them real quick. So I'm answering the phone and I'm with my family, right? I'm answering the phone with my family and I say, hey, you know, record a call and, you know, say this. I give them what to do. And so I just told you what to do in like 10 seconds. And this phone call is supposed to go into a 30 minutes because you're uneducated on what to do. And so what I mean by that is, again, I'm not a lawyer. You're not a lawyer. We don't have to talk super sophisticated. Scratch. Don't worry about that. So this is the thing. So this is, I say, hey, man, record the call and, you know, tell them you're at work and it's not a good time to talk, right? Yeah. So it's just like, well, is it illegal to record the calls? No. Marvin, you just hit it right on the head. You got to understand, in the United States of America, somebody punch you, you can punch them. So if they're recording you, you can record them. But let's dive deep into it. This is the thing. So they say, hey, so we're going to say California. California is a two-party consent state. And I'm in Oklahoma, which is a one-party consent state. So if I call Midland and then Midland tells me, because the call is landing in California. So California is a two-party consent state. But once Midland answers the phone and say, hey, this is an attempt to collect the debt, any information will be, you know, used for that purpose, all phone calls may be recorded. All right, cool. Right there, they're telling you you're recording them, or they're telling you they're recording you. So now you can record them. So let's reverse the scenario. California is a two-party consent state. I'm in Oklahoma. Oklahoma is a one-party consent state. So what, just think of where the call lands. So where the call lands in Oklahoma is a one-party consent state. You don't have to inform the other person that you're recording the call. You can just record the call. So the legal meaning or the legal thing behind it is you want to use that recording in court. So regardless, you can record phone calls freely, but you know, now it's like, oh, okay, did you tell this person that you was going to record it so we can use it in court? That's the big difference. But again, don't worry about that. Just do the basics to get it in appropriate hands, and then we move along.
Yeah, one of the other things I've also heard you talk about as well, I've heard a lot of people talk about debt validation, but then I've also heard about debt verification. And yeah. I actually didn't learn until recently that there's a difference between the two, especially when it comes to dealing with debt collectors. What exactly is the difference between validation versus verification?
It's trash. Straight up trash. If you are a credit repair company and you're doing debt validation, debt mm-hmm. verification, stop doing credit repair. Mm. Or I'll give you a way out. Contact me. Right. Mm-hmm. Or listen up.
There you go.
So this is the thing. There is a legal difference between verification and validation. So, but in all, it's trash, it's bullcorn. And so you got to understand what's going on. So say, for an example, in the 30-day window of the debt collector contacting you or whatever the case may be, when they first get the debt or want to collect the debt, they send you that Dunning letter and they say, hey, you know, we got this debt. And if you don't respond, we're going to say that, you know, this is valid or whatever the case may be. Right. So now you send this, you go on Google, you think you got this letter, and then you send debt validation, debt verification. And guess what? I asked for my wet signature. I asked for accounting and I asked for all these documents. And now they didn't give me this and I got this. And now you fell straight into that trap. Right? What I'll do, or I would tell people to do, is just simply write a letter, date it, address it to the debt collector, and just simply keep it real simple. I refuse to pay. Put your information on the bottom and take a picture of the letter and then send it off to the debt collector. Certified. So guess what happens? Once that letter is delivered, because everything, you got to have proof. Everything is proof. That's the picture. That's sending it certified. So next thing you know, now you get a text message, you get an email, you get a response in the mail. That's a violation. So now you got to understand the two, right? So let me tell you why my tactics work and they're so simple and things of that nature. Everybody is on AI. Everybody is on speed, right? So say, for example, you was talking about, you know, the Fair Credit Reporting Act and all this other stuff. So it's some junk. Metro 2, when I'm throwing rocks at it, I'll say Metro 6 or whatever. Essentially, you know, they're like, oh, we're breaking down a communication and all this other stuff. Dude, it's junk. If you can't tell me that a system that somebody built can outsmart me, I take assault to that. So I'm a big component of just not using AI, you know, because I'm finna outsmart you. And I'm finna keep it so simple that, hey, I'ma get you, right? We're gonna leave it at that. I'ma get you, right? So, so a lot of the times, man, once again, you sent off that letter, right? Just simple, I refuse to pay. And the next thing you know, they dump it onto your credit report and then they market dispute it, right? So I'll bring a lawsuit on them because of that, because you marked the information disputed. That's not a dispute, okay? So it's several ways that I'm catching these violations under the FDCPA to clean up that credit report and also to get the consumer paid and also to make a good living across the United States. But let's dive deep into why that works and how that works, right? Now, there is technology to pick up handwriting and text form and things of that nature, which is called OCR, optical character recognition. And really what that is just a scanner. Scanner's been around for years, but you can go to the Google app or, App Store and just type in OCR. It's a scanner. But it picks up keywords, right? So say, for example, man, I went on vacation, and every time I go on vacation, I just go into a deep thought moment that I'm coming up with different ways to convey myself, right? So the premises of it is I refuse to pay. But you got to understand it's 100 ways to say you're not going to pay someone. So literally every time I go on like on vacation, I go into a deep thought and I'll be like, dude, look, like I'm gonna come up with 100 different variations to do this. I'm gonna come up with 100 variations to do this. And so a lot of people that's gonna be reviewing this is just gonna be a one trick pony because they're gonna say, oh yeah, he just said we refuse to pay. Next thing you know, these AI technology systems is just gonna pick it up. And the next thing you know, they're not gonna violate the law, you know, as much. They're gonna still do it, but that's the thing, how to be innovative to come up with multiple, literally 100 ways to do something.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I also read somewhere that, and I want to confirm this is true, that even though, of course, you have experience going to the courts, you're not the biggest fan of going into the court when it comes to the actual suing process. Is that true? And if so, why or why not?
No. I'm the hugest fan on going to court.
Okay. Got you.
I'm not, you got to understand the technique. You like, what's the end goal? Like when you say, for example, we're talking about court, but when you send off the validation letter or the verification letter, and there is a case out there that's pretty strong coming out of the Fourth Circuit that just says, hey, the debt collector just got to confirm that you owe money. Right. So say, for example, you send off a debt validation letter. They just got to confirm that you owe money. Oh, now they didn't provide my wet signature. They didn't provide a contract. You get into a bunch of junk. And if you take that up, you're going to lose. So my thing is, are you really going to pay it? Why are you sending a debt validation letter? If you just really want to like give the post office like $5, you want to waste some ink, you want to waste the envelope, do it, because it's not going to get you anywhere. So for an example, when you tell a debt collector, dude, I refuse to pay, man, it has several different components of protection. And that's the difference.
Okay. With that being the case, then, when we're going to the court, we know some of the different things that, you know, we're providing. How exactly does that process of actually getting monetary payment for the damages that have been done from these collectors, like, what does that process look like? Right. Because I think some people, they think, all right, they violated my rights, I wanted $1,000 check today. Right. But I want to make sure that we provide them as much detail as possible to really know what that looks like from the top to the moment they initiate contact with the debt collector, mm-hmm. all the way down to the very bottom.
Gathering the evidence. So this is the thing. When people come to me about a story, I say, hey, man, nice story. Right? Nice story. Go sell it to Steven Spielberg. You can't sell it to me. Right? Because it's a nice story. Dude, you got to have evidence. Right? So say, for example, I went over how to record the phone calls. Right? That's evidence. I went over, take a picture. I went over, when you send it to them, do certify. That's proof. And so say, for an example, once you collect the evidence, they respond, they keep calling you, things of that nature. Now, we got the evidence. We finna go to federal court. We finna kick it. We're going to say, hey, you're wrong. and you got to pay us some money to go away. And so the FDCPA allows for from $100 to $1,000 statutory, and then whatever the actual damages is that the consumer has suffered, they got to compensate the consumer for that. And so I'm not a lawyer, but, you know, if you do hire a lawyer, they will pay your attorney's fee. So it's a fee shifting statute.
Okay. Another thing I wanted to touch on, you know, in having you on here, and this is a little bit left field from a lot of what we talked about, but I've talked a lot with a couple of different individuals on this platform about consumer law. One of the biggest topics that I've seen.
And Marvin, don't edit this part.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
Don't edit this part. I want you to play this.
Okay. That's fine.
Before we came on, I said I wanted to grade you on the intro. I'm going to give you a 99.
Okay, I'll take it. Right? I'll take it. It's not the 100, but I'll take it.
Yeah. The reason why I took it from you, man, took that 1 point from you, because you said consumer law. So say for an example, man, you got a lot of fluff masters that is hiding behind consumer law, and they don't know what they're doing, right? So I'm specifically telling you, FDCPA, Section C, Subsection A, 1. You see what I'm saying? They're just saying, oh, yeah, I'm consumer law. Like, okay, let's dive into Title 18.
Okay, let's do it.
No, I'm saying, if you saying consumer law, let's dive into Title 15, right? So you're talking about consumer law. You're talking about Telephone Consumer Protection Act? Or are you talking about the Fair Credit Billing Act? Or are you talking about the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act? You're talking about the Fair Credit Reporting Act. It's so much. If you see Title 15, dude, it is deep. So let me tell you this, right? It's the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act is 1692. The Fair Credit Reporting Act is 1681. Look at the difference between that. It's a lot. I'm talking about the difference within that. You see what I'm saying? It's so much statutes between that. So it's just like consumer law, man. Dude, it's so vague. Like, what are you doing? So, and this is the thing, man, that it kind of gets to me a little bit, but I understand that these credit repair companies, generally, they're not making a lot of money because they're not specializing in one thing. So once you specialize in one thing, now you're building up reps and now you got the money coming in. I can just tell by someone's advertising if they're making money or not, period. I can just look at it. So if a credit repair company is saying like, hey man, you know, I can help you with bankruptcy, foreclosures, repossessions, collections, medical bills, student loans, da, 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 da. You saying all that? You ain't got no money, man. I'm just keeping it real because, dude, like even you, right? So that intro, I was reading a book that said, man, that's very like, hey, you need to have control of your intros, right? It's a book out there, super good book. And so when I seen one of your previous intros and it threw me back and I'm like, dude, is one is killer, but that person of that statute, I'm like, you didn't have it ready? You know what I'm saying? So when I seen that, I was just like, man, he's up on game. He's read something. And yeah, I said, oh, okay. So yeah, man. But so the second part of that refusal, right? So in that first 30-day window, send it to the debt collector, right? So say for an example, if because usually when consumers is looking for credit repair, the information is already on their report. So it's like, dude, okay, dang, I can't send a refusal right now what do I do now? And let me compartmentalize the two. So if the consumer so-called disputes within the first 30 days, right? We're not talking about dispute, we're talking about refusal. But then how do you carry on? How do you try to get the violation or whatever? Now you got to understand, once that 30 days window has passed, because you didn't respond to it, now it's dumped on your credit. Your disputing rights is out the door. You didn't use them, so you lost them. And that's another thing why the debt validation is weak. It just has no legal bearing after 30 days. So now you have to understand technology. One, you got to understand the law. You got to understand how to apply this stuff. So let's think of some words to trigger AI, right, under the FDCPA, that's going to get a response. So let's think about it. Let's think about it. Debt validation, debt verification, dispute, proof, accounting, contracts. It's going to be words like that. So, but keep in mind, man, your disputing rights has already went out the window. But hold on one second. Since we don't have the disputing rights, I'm going to say, look, you know what? I'm disputing the debt, but I refuse to pay. But guess what? The debt collector or the AI is going to pick that up. And then guess what they're going to do? Oh, hey, we got the verification validation letter. Here's accounting. Here's this. Oh, I got you, buddy. Come here. You violated the law. Because this is the thing. They should not respond to you. It's just like, you know, Marvin, I know you probably went in New York City and got a beautiful wife, right? You've been married for 50 years, right? And y'all doing the action. And she tells you to stop. If you keep going, you finna be at one of them precincts. You know what I'm saying? So that's that. Once you tell somebody to stop, they gotta stop, man. So that's what that refuse to pay is doing. And like I say, man, I got hundreds of them. Because it's going to be a lot of people that probably listen to, you know, this and be like, oh, man, y'all want to do it. And then they try to, like, go to court and then they go mess it up just like they did with the other one. But you got to understand how to plead. You got to understand all this legal stuff that's going on.
Listen, Vance Dotson, I came on here thinking I was going to have a conversation. I got a gosh darn masterclass, man. you are definitely one of one, brother. And I'm excited to see what this one does so that we could potentially do a part two, because there's so much layers to this, to dealing with these debt collectors and really understanding the laws and the things that are in place to empower us. And I'm happy that we were able to have a conversation today to touch on that. You know, as we get ready to close, for you personally, you touched on it a little bit earlier, but, you know, from, you know, working in the oil rigs to being where you are now, which is as a premier name in this space, your journey over the past several years has been a testament to just your commitment to not just empowering yourself, but also empowering consumers as well. For those who are watching that received a lot of value from this interview, where can these people find you?
All the social media sites, right? So let's go back from square one. If they still got my platform up on Black Planet, if they still got my platform up on MySpace, which I haven't logged in at on years, right? So you can go find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. They keep taking my TikTok page down. I don't know how to be nobody else. So on all social media platforms, even YouTube, I don't even post on YouTube. I got a YouTube account. So Vance Dotson, right? So on all platforms, man, I'm Vance Dotson. So that's all I know how to be. That's all I am. You know, reach out, you know, and let's see what we can do. I'm pretty sure we can come up with something and, you know, see what goes on.
See what goes on. Listen, my guy, thank you for coming through, and thank you for each and every single one of y'all who have tapped into this episode. If you haven't already, what are you doing? Take a second, take a minute, take an hour out of your day right here, right now to slap the like button and show this episode some love. And of course, make sure you check in with Vance with any and all things relating to understanding how to deal with debt collectors and fight them appropriately to make sure that you can empower yourself as a consumer. But as always, I'm Marvin Francois. That's Vance Dodson.
I got one more thing, man. Collectively, right? I'm throwing a rock collectively at all of us. And this is the thing. This is what really, chapped my behind is Midland Credit Management in 2023 made $1.7 billion.
Wow.
So to me, collectively, we're not doing our job. So we're not, going to throw a portfolio in there, right? They made over $1 billion. So then we're not going to throw LVMV in there. They made over $1 billion. And it's just like you said, they're very aggressive in that courtroom. They're suing everybody across the nation. And this is the thing. Credit repair is just not looking at that credit report and increasing the FICO score.
Right.
Literally help the consumer.
1,000%.
If you don't have the knowledge, what I did is I pay for the knowledge. Then I go implement, right? So say for an example, man, show somebody how to answer that lawsuit, right? Show somebody how to do a motion to dismiss. Because you got to understand, they have these affidavits, right? So they're making these lawsuits up, and these affidavits is from the third party debt collector, not Citibank, not from the original creditor. And so if you know how to attack, these affidavits, you can get the case dismissed legally. So once you get it dismissed, it's certain things that you can do. It's a lot of things that you can do. So, man, I just really want to put that on record. And, hey, man, it's a lot of education that needs to be put out there. And so, man, we've been almost an hour in it, man, and I haven't even really scratched the surface, man. We only talked about a few things. You see what I'm saying?
And there's still so much. That's how deep this really gets. Like, it is very multi-layered. And for me, I'm excited for us to definitely dive more and more into that on a potential part two. Because this episode here in and of itself.
Oh, no potential. Part two. Oh,
part two. There you go.
Hey, look, we're not, when we first connected, man, I was like, yeah, man, let's do it. But I was like, let's do it in person, because I like the vibe, man. I like the vibe. To go off of that energy. So let's do part two in person, man. And let's talk about the Fair Credit Reporting Act. And because that, that's a whole nother way of information. It's a whole nother method. Right. And so I can touch on that for days. I can touch on the FDCPA for days. I can touch on the TCPA for days. I can just touch on it all, But yeah, man, let's get it, because I know for sure, right? So I came onto your platform, and I'm telling people that hey, I'm at work right now, and it's not a good time to talk, right? So somebody will look at that and just be like, oh, okay. But that same thing got my friend $1.5 million. So that's how serious it is. Oh yeah, that right there.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, part two is definitely going to be a good one, because we're going to definitely have to talk about that. As always, I'm your host, Marvin Francois. That's Vance Dodson. Y'all have been good. We've been great. This has been amazing. Thank you to each and every single one of y'all. God bless. Peace, family.